This morning, we continue our whirlwind journey with Mark. Still, somehow, in the first chapter, still in the very first day of Jesus' ministry in Capernaum. What a day it has been! After going to the synagogue to teach on the Sabbath, casting out an unclean spirit, Jesus goes with Simon and Andrew, brothers whom he has just called to follow him while they fished in the Sea of Galilee. Jesus goes with them to their home. There they find Simon's mother-in-law in bed with a fever. Jesus takes her hand and, as Mark says, lifts her up. The fever leaves her, and she begins to serve them. And still, the day isn't over. There are crowds of people waiting for Jesus to heal them from illness or cast out unclean spirits when the Sabbath ends at sundown. These two stories about Jesus go together, back to back. Jesus casting out an unclean spirit and healing someone. This is our first example of a pattern of pairing common to the Gospel of Mark, here at the very beginning. As one biblical commentator writes, together, these stories offer us a microcosm of Jesus' mission as a whole in Mark's telling. Jesus, the Holy One of God, comes to confront death-dealing forces for the sake of restoration. Jesus comes to free us from all that ails us or keeps us in bondage, as Christina preached last week, for the sake of our wholeness and restoration to life with God and one another in Christ. In the first story, Jesus offered freedom from bondage and ruin to the man with the unclean spirit, confronting that death-dealing force and casting it out of him. Now, in our second story, Jesus offers freedom for service and ministry, restoring Simon's mother-in-law not only to health, but as a co-worker in the ministry of restoration with him. It's on this second piece, the character of Simon's mother-in-law and the actions that she takes, that I would invite you to consider this morning, especially as we prepare to baptize Benjamin in just a little while. Because I think this story, this pair of stories, offers us a window into the life we are called to live as members of the body of Christ. Two words in this morning's gospel reading stand out in the Greek. Egeiro, which means to waken or raise, and diakoneo, which means to serve or minister. After Jesus takes Simon's mother-in-law's hand, she remains unnamed in the story, he raises her up. Mark uses the same word to describe Jesus at the resurrection. It's what the angel says to Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James and Salome, when they bring spices to anoint his body. He has been raised. He is not here. More than simply helping the woman to her feet, this particular term evokes that later story of the resurrection, a restoration to fullness of life, a reinvigoration, a renewed strength. There is something happening here. We can read that something else, that something happening at work in the following line. It's deceptively simple. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. Now, let's take a bit of a textual deep dive. The word used for serve here is diakoneo. It is the Greek root of our word deacon, and used throughout early Christian texts. Today, deacons can be found in many denominations, each with a slightly different role. In the Episcopal Church, deacons are ministers ordained to make Christ and his redemptive love known by their word and example to those among whom they live and work and worship. Often they minister out in the community, beyond the walls of the church, bringing the needs of the world to the church and offering God's love and the resources of the church to the world. Reading some more Greek definitions, a couple stand out to me. One of them emphasizes the tangible ministry of deacons. It can mean caring for the needs of others as the Lord guides in an active, practical way. Deacons are out in the world doing, actively ministering to people's needs. Another favorite definition reads, literally kicking up dust. Because deacons are on the move. Their service isn't static, but dynamic, actively embodying God's love in Christ to the world. Diakoneo can also be used to describe someone serving at a table, like a servant. And it contains, in its many translations, all of these meanings. So, back to the story. If you read these lines together, he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her and she began to serve them. You might take them to mean that Simon's mother-in-law made Jesus, Simon, Andrew, James, and John a first century afternoon snack. There is nothing wrong with snacks, and indeed, sharing hospitality is a critical part of building relationships and community. But in environments that have long instructed women to serve men, and in a Christianity where many communities and denominations continue to reject women's leadership and authority, ordained or otherwise, it has been and still is too easy to read and teach this word in a subservient way, rather than the dust-kicking example that I think Simon's mother-in-law offers. Jesus raises her up, awakens her to ministry as a co-worker with Christ, and her response is to begin doing that ministry, serving Jesus and the people around her, our original deacon. Maybe that involved feeding her hungry guests. Maybe that meant spreading the word about what Jesus had done, so that at sundown the whole city could be found at her door. Maybe it meant knowing who needed a place to rest as they waited, or a drink of water. Or maybe it was helping Jesus quietly out of town so that he could pray. One final note about women in Mark. In chapter 15, just after Jesus has died, Mark writes that there were also women looking on from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James the younger, and Joses, and Salome. They used to follow him and provided for him while he was in Galilee. And there were many other women who had come up with him to Jerusalem. Throughout Mark's gospel, beginning here in Jesus' ministry in Galilee, women have been traveling with Jesus. We just don't hear about them in the same way we hear about his male disciples. I wonder if Simon's mother-in-law was one of these women. If others, or maybe even all of them, also deaconed or served in this way. Did they get to know the people that Jesus encountered? Or did they know them already and connected them to Jesus before restoring them to their communities? I wonder if some of these women, like Simon's mother-in-law or the woman who had been bleeding for 12 years, had themselves experienced restoration to health or wholeness in their communities, and felt God calling them to help others find the same. I wonder how they ministered to the people who came to see and hear and be healed by Jesus, and if that was one of the ways they ministered to and provided for Jesus himself. In a few moments, we will renew our vow that with God's help, we will seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving our neighbors as ourselves. This story offers us a window into what that might look like, regardless of whether or not we take up the formal role of deacons in the church. In baptism, we are offered freedom from the stories of this world that try to confine us to an assigned role or distract us, the unclean spirits that take up residence in us that offer us death instead of life. We each have our own, but in baptism, we are given the spirit of adoption, adopted as members of God's family, making us part of a new story that offers freedom from sin and death and bondage through our life with the triune God. With that freedom, as members of that family, we are called to serve others, to serve Christ in others, like Simon's mother-in-law this morning. Our life in Christ, marked at baptism, frees each of us for this service. Not because we are any better or any different than whoever it is we may serve, but in response to God's overwhelming and restoring love for us. We too are raised up for this call. So, Benjamin, as you grow, may you know this as the call of every Christian, the work of every person who joins this story of freedom, grounded and rooted in God's unfathomable love for us, made manifest, as we know it, in Jesus. May it be your work, too, to share that redeeming, restoring love in word and example wherever you go. And may all of us join you on that journey. Amen.